Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, continuing our thread today on communication expertise, it's a real pleasure to welcome Robert Mayer to our show. How are you this morning, Robert?
Just fine. Thank you, Doctor.
Critically. Couldn't have more fun today. Well, Robert Mayer conducts negotiation, mediation, and persuasion seminars and workshops in both the U.S. and abroad. Principles, skills, and progressive methods he's honed over 40 years as a lawyer. His firm is known for bringing creative solutions to complex legal problems. Earning both a business and a law degree from the University of California, Berkeley, Robert and his colleagues have represented clients both big and small, negotiating deals on everything from amphitheater developments to the sale of vintage aircraft. With a passion for applying those same skills and insights to everyday life, Robert has authored three books, and our topic today is the timely second release to match the new normal of our lives these days. The book is How to Win Any Argument, the caveat being without raising your voice, losing your cool, or coming to blows. Robert is also a much sought-after radio figure, having appeared on more than 150 radio shows coast-to-coast, including CNN and Weekend Today in New York. And frankly, I'm delighted you've chosen to add Circles of Change to the list, so welcome again.
Thank you, and I'm delighted to be here.
Well, let's start with this whole characterization first, Robert, of what do you mean when you say the word new normal?
Well, the new normal is what we're all living in right now. Things are tough, and when things are tough, people get tougher. Conversations are tougher. People are more aggressive. And the soft, touchy feeling that we all had when we negotiated or argued with other people of years gone by just isn't as prevalent as it used to be. In fact, the book How to Win Any Argument is a revised edition of a book that came out 5 years ago. The book that came out 5 years ago is in nine languages. It's a very popular book, but the publisher called me and said, you know, we need to add some new chapters because we're all in a new normal. And I said, well, what kind of chapters do you want? And they said, well, you know, some days you have to argue tougher, and some days you have to be a little more aggressive than perhaps you may have been in the past, but on the other hand, you don't want to become argumentative and a difficult person at the same time. How can we do it? What do we do when things are just conversations are tougher and there's more conflict? You know, conflict is a part of the human condition. We're all chronically human, and the question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with that conflict? How do we relate to it?
Yeah, in fact, you know, we often talk about that here on the show, is that conflict is a part of life, and if you don't have conflict, you're not alive. Or you even put in your book, if you don't have a job that doesn't have conflict, you probably don't have a job. You know, that it's part of it. But really what you're saying and what you get into in this, in your wonderful piece of your book that's very rich with anecdotes, with stories, with connections to business and personal life, is it's really about confrontation. And then that how we resolve this is where the mastery is, isn't it, Robert?
Well, yes. The mastery, though, starts off with what the book calls a still center.
Yes.
Because without a still center, you're going to respond and react rather than properly aligning yourself with the other person. With a still center, you have the power to be aware of how you feel. You'll be thinking, I feel angry because. Mm-hmm. You'll have the power to respond rather than to react, because when you respond, you're in control. When you react, the event controls you. You'll have the power to control anger and to be aware of your gut impulses. You'll be aware of risks and consequences of what you say and what you do. So that's where it all begins, is being in control of how you will be. And in fact, the art of argument is like a tennis game. You know, how you shoot the ball, how you hit the ball is going to determine how it's returned to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it all begins, with a still center.
But I think what you also stress, though, is that the ability to be successful through the argument process, it's as much about having the right moves, but then also this idea of the right touch. And I think what your publisher is saying is that maybe this touch piece is really changed in these 5 years. Is that what he's angling you for?
Very much so. You know, the a few years back in reviewing the book, the New York Times said Bob Mayer's methodology is mental judo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word judo translated into English means a gentle move. And so in judo, you tap into the other person's energy rather than using your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the methodology of the book, is tapping into the other person's energy to get what you want. Now, you get back to, well, what about the new normal? Well, you know, you can use the same paint with a paintbrush or with a roller. And sometimes you need to have a roller and sometimes a paintbrush. But with a still center, you have the ability to decide, you know, just how aggressive you're going to be and how you're going to interface with the other person. One of the problems that everybody has is that they think that they have arguing techniques, but
mm-hmm.
in fact, they don't have arguing techniques. They have arguing habits. And you can test that yourself, because most of us deal with the same way in every situation. We deal with a dry cleaner that ruined our shirt the same way we argue with our boss and our landlord and the Ford dealer and the neighbor with the barking dog down the street. So we know that they're not techniques, they're habits. And so one of the things the Still Center enables us to do is to realize that we're not going to argue with people the same way in every context. Also, with a Still Center, you avoid the common argument traps. And the common argument traps or the common argument mistakes are that, you know, we tend to believe that people acting emotionally can be persuaded by logic.
Right.
Untrue.
Yeah, untrue.
We believe that the more we talk, the more we influence. Untrue. We tend to deal with impossible people, doctor, by being impossible back. We interrupt them. We raise our voice. We overgeneralize. Dr. Zara, you always, or Dr. Zara, you never. Or we disparage people. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? You know, what's your problem? You know, why can't you be more reasonable? Or we start thinking that people can be talked into something. But, you know, I've been calling you Dr. Zara, but I'll now call you Dr. Larson. You know, we believe that people can be talked into something, but when was the last time somebody said, oh, Dr. Larson, you silver-tongued devil, you are
right.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Again, you know, the Still Center gives us a chance to think in terms of techniques rather than habits, and it gives us an opportunity to stay away from the common traps.
You bet. The other additional chapters, then, of the idea of this moves and taboos that you've put into place in the conversation, there was also awakening the general public, because I certainly think in your field of expertise, being a lawyer, you know the power of mediation, arbitration, and collaborative dispute resolution in this day and age. The inclusion in the book at this point in time, though, is absolutely timely, don't you believe?
That's one of the reasons the publisher wanted a revised edition. There is a chapter now on resolving disputes using a third party to assist, which would be mediation and arbitration and collaborative law. Collaborative law is just an emerging way of alternative dispute resolution, primarily used right now in family law and divorce-type cases, but it's something that you'll hear and see a lot more of in the days and months ahead.
Well, and it's almost, though, some people might say that sounds like a real oxymoron. Collaborative law? I mean, that it's usually fraught more with, you know, truly conflict as opposed to managing confrontation.
Well, the idea is that with collaborative law, particularly in family law being matrimonial law,
mm-hmm.
Is the realization that an ex-spouse is forever. And so you want to have as a gentle way of parting and dividing up the spoils as possible, because you're going to see that ex-spouse at weddings and family events, and you want it to be as easy as possible both for yourself and for the other person. So you have this new emerging area of law which is very sensitive to feelings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a different dynamic. And then the third section, of course, is you make us very mindful of the whole cross-cultural dynamics at play today.
Well, right. The cross-cultural is that, you know, it used to be that somebody would be ready to jump on a plane and fly off to Korea or Japan or wherever they had business, and they would learn, you know, whether to bow or to smile or to bring a gift. But, you know, cross-cultural now is something that you have to be concerned with, whether you're jumping on a plane or whether you're sitting at a keyboard. And the cross-cultural portion of the book, that new chapter, is not about bowing and kissing on a cheek or bringing a gift, but it's about how that other person may feel and how they make decisions, so you can best interface them to be able to accomplish your goal. And it's very relevant because the world gets smaller every day.
That's very, very true. The as you have seen the reaction, so the your revised edition has been out how long now, Robert?
About 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks, so it's new. And the reaction so far to this edition, different than when you released it the first time, or what some of the ahas have been for you personally?
No, they've been very positive. And people realize that, you know, it's a different world, and you need to know about alternative dispute resolution. You need to know moves that you might want to make, or to be sensitized because other people might use them. It's funny, there are like 18 argument tricks that are in the book for this edition that weren't in the earlier edition. And so some people might say, well, why does Bob Mayer have tricks? What kind of a guy is this? We don't need tricks. But it makes it very clear, it's up to you whether you want to use them or not.
That's right.
But on the other hand, you'll understand what other people may be doing, and you'll be sensitized to those tricks.
Very well put. And, well, I know the when you had first released the book that you've had not just an opportunity to obviously speak on so many different radio venues, but also some magazines have touched base, and I recall your having mentioned to me that the Men's Health magazine contacted you.
You know, they actually went ahead and interviewed me and published an article. It's been a year or two now. And I couldn't understand why Men's Health magazine was calling a guy that hardly ever works out. It's not like I have a six-pack to bring to the table, right?
Right.
And so they said, you know, this idea of a still center lessens stress and gives somebody clearer thinking and gives them more control over how they'll be, all of which is very healthy. And so the article was about how to reduce stress in your life, and particularly in conflict situations. Now, when you talk about conflict, somebody who, you know, is not in business may say, well, you know, conflict is really for people that are out there negotiating
right.
and bargaining. And but, you know, most arguments occur in your kitchen with your family and with your friends. And that certainly is true for me. And not only are most conflict situations at home, but those are the most difficult ones because you have to be ultra sensitive. You know, to what the result will be. The last thing you want is a resentful spouse or somebody who doesn't feel like talking to you for a couple days. So, again, how you interface at home is very important, and there are chapters of dealing with family and friends. And when you talk about dealing with family, you're going to deal differently with a spouse who wants to go to vacation someplace other than where you want to go, set that aside, than you would with a teenager who just refuses to do homework and get papers handed in on time. So, again, if you have habits rather than techniques, you're going to deal with the spouse and the teenager the same way, which is the last thing in the world you want to do.
Well, and I think, you know, you raise a very, very good point, you know, consistently here, is that the idea of really understanding your audience, right?
It's absolutely critical, and to understand the audience means that you have to step back and think of, you know, what the ramifications of what you're suggesting or what you're doing are going to be. And so, you know, it could be different depending on the type of child you have and what the problem is, and, you know, no two situations are the same. But again, if you have habits rather than techniques, you're going to treat every situation as if it were the same.
And usually those habitual situations, like we say, though, you know, how your tips and techniques in your book, Robert, could apply to the situations where we seem like we're having that same argument time and time again, particularly in the family setting.
Well,
how do we break that pattern?
How do you break that pattern? Well, one of the ways of breaking the pattern, there are a lot of tips in the book, but one of the tips is you ask questions. Mm-hmm, and if you ask the right questions, you'll get the right answers. Now, most people would say, well, Dr. Larson, why are you saying that? And Dr. Larson may say, because I feel I said it, or because I feel it's right. Well, that doesn't tell you really what's in your head. But if I said to you, Dr. Larson, what is the reason you're saying that, using the word what instead of why, you're going to say, well, you know, Bob, the reason is, and you're going to put your cards on the table. And once you've put your cards on the table, instead of giving me a because I feel like an answer, I'm now able to better deal with the conflict because I understand where you're coming from.
Right, and usually that's the story behind the story, which is where the answer might lie.
Right. And then when you express, you know, your thoughts to the other person, you express them as feelings. Well, you know, Dr. Larson, I feel that because, and so you can't refute what I'm telling you because those are my feelings. If I tell you I feel cold, you can't tell me I feel hot. Mm-hmm. If I tell you I feel angry, you can't tell me I feel happy. So expressing your feeling, your thoughts and sentiments and your position as feelings and using, you know, what questions is a good way of starting to find out what it's all about and to let the other person kind of know where your head is at without taking a position but merely expressing your feelings.
That's right. Now, Robert, you're trained as both a businessman and a lawyer, and you and your partner have built a very successful practice over these 40 years. Was it what was it that triggered the opportunity for you to realize you wanted to go to the world, shall we say, and share these tips and techniques and even kind of bridge from the professional life to the applying this to the personal life?
Well, you know, when I went to law school, negotiation wasn't taught.
Really?
And so here I, you know, knew about real estate and contracts and trusts and all of that, but I didn't know how to negotiate or how really to argue, except maybe in a moot court context, which is sort of a very formal context. And, you know, there I was, you know, thrown into the pond. But I realized that certain people really were very effective and were able to get their way and have things go more easily for them. And I kind of looked at what they were doing and I studied what they were doing. And then I started talking to psychiatrists and psychologists to find out, you know, how they thought arguments could be won. And then I turned to the masters of persuasion, which are the professional con men, which I interviewed. And so I said, hey, you know, there's a lot to all of this. And so I started putting together programs, and the early programs were for UCLA.
The other piece of it I know it's mentioned is that you also spent time interviewing the real barterers and hagglers at bazaars all around the world. How did you fall into doing that?
I did that because I wanted to give cruise ship lectures. I was enticed by free cruises, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what were some of the surprising things that you bumped into as you toured the bar?
You know, I interviewed over 200 merchants in places like, you know, Bombay and Shanghai and Istanbul, and to find out, you know, how these merchants were able to argue and to make deals, and then I was, you know, able to pass them on to cruise ship passengers. But, you know, nobody learns how to argue, or at least didn't learn how to argue way back when. But in other countries, little kids are to learn how to argue and how to negotiate because, you know, their
had to survive.
Their mom may send them to the marketplace for a chicken, and if they're not really, you know, great negotiators, there may not be chicken on the platter tonight at the house. So there was a lot to be learned from these various merchants, and in fact, a lot of the tricks and things that they use in dealing with cruise ship customers and tourists are the same without regard to which continent they're hawking their goods.
So that's what I think is interesting, like you say, you know, because of your travels around the globe. And then certainly your inclusion now, this whole cross-cultural persuasion, it really is sometimes saying it isn't about our differences, it's about our sameness that we should be playing to.
You sound old beyond your years.
Oh, dear. I'm a quick study. That's what it is.
No, but you're 100% right. Absolutely. But most people don't have that same sensitivity. And so, again, you know, they just jump into an argument and argue the same way, as I said, you know, with the boss and the neighbor and the dry cleaner.
Mm-hmm. You know, back to this whole comment, even by your publishers asking you to do a rewrite or a refresh of how to win any argument without raising your voice, losing your cool, or coming to blows. The whole dynamics around the different modes of communication in this day and age, Robert, the idea that, you know, people are not even using, many people, certainly youth, not even using their cell phones to talk, but rather to confine what they want to transmit to 140 characters.
Well, you know, that's a very favorite topic of mine, because particularly for somebody like myself, I live in Los Angeles, where it takes forever because of traffic to get across town these days. So what we all tend to do is not what's most efficient, not what's most effective, but what's most efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's really efficient to get on the phone. But if there's a real conflict and it's an important conflict, you really want to sit across the table from the other person. Because, you know, winning arguments is the art of the one-on-one. And if you get on the phone, it's easier for the other person to say no, and conversations are briefer on the phone, so they tend to be more combative.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of patience to be a good listener, and you're never sure whether you're getting through. So, you know, it's easy to pick up the phone, but if it's really an important argument, then, you know, try to do it in person. And it's the same with email, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, email is easy to do, and we pound out two or three sentences, but you're not really relating to the other person. And when I say relating to the other person, what's important is that they feel good about what you're saying, because you're not only the messenger, but you're part of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I trust you, and unless I feel that, you know, that you're going to honor what you're saying, and unless I feel that, you know, you really are disturbed by something what I said and how it can be cured, I'm not really going to achieve my end result. You know, one of the examples I like to use is think about your favorite concerts. And if you go to your favorite concerts, the chances are that singer probably visited with you, but you as a member of the audience, between songs, as opposed to just running through a dozen songs as if you were listening to a DVD or something.
And it's that visiting between the songs that you really remember so nicely.
That's absolutely, because that's the interface with the other person. I was invited once to go backstage to a Barbra Streisand concert, and there were these monitors that only she could see. And you know what was on them? Chit-chat.
Chit-chat.
It was a reminder for her to have chit-chat between songs.
Songs, exactly. Isn't that wonderful? Well, thank you so much for giving your time here today with us, Robert Mayer. The book is How to Win Any Argument Without Raising Your Voice, Losing Your Cool, or Coming to Blows. You can learn more about Robert's various books at thewaytowin.net. Robert, thanks so much, and have a great holiday season.
You too. Thank you, Doctor.
You bet. It's a real pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.